the church. So from Acts 2, and we're reading from verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and were bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in their native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above, and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And Catherine's going to come and share with us.
May my words and our thoughts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. It's wonderful to be here with you virtually on this day of Pentecost. I've been here once before, but it was from my own study. And so it's absolutely lovely to be here in person in the Dan's house sharing with you. And this morning we remember the coming of the Holy Spirit on that first day of Pentecost. I remember as a child in church, one of the things that the vicar used to do periodically was he would bring a birthday cake into church and we'd light all the candles and we'd blow it out as a message that this is the birthday of the church. Of course, the church's other birthday arrives with Jesus on Christmas Day, but there's a real sense in which Pentecost, the day of the arrival of the Holy Spirit, is the day on which the church was born. Jesus has ascended into heaven. The disciples have been given the Holy Spirit to spread the word of the gospel. And this gospel message is for everyone. Anyone, and it was Susie who drew the short straw today, who has the misfortune of reading the Pentecost reading, has to wade through that long list of people who were present for Peter's words. Parthians, Medites, Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia. Susie had to go on, I'm not going to. The point is, there were people from all sorts of different nations there. And this is really important, so important that the author of Acts stops his story and lists all of these people. Because vital to this moment of Pentecost, is that Christianity is for everybody, the Gentiles as well as the Jews. This is a faith with global relevance, global appeal. The Jews were expecting a Messiah who would save only them. But the message of Pentecost is that the salvation of Jesus is much wider than that. It's for everybody. And that message, that each one who heard understood in their own language, is a powerful prophecy of the spread of Christianity throughout the world and throughout the ages. As the gospel spread, as different countries and languages made Christianity their own, each would hear in their own language what the Spirit says. I remember between university and theological college, I spent a year in the Gambia in West Africa. And while I was there, there were a couple who were translating the Bible from the original Hebrew and Greek into the local language, which was Mandinka. And most of the people who came to church would have been very fluent in English, but it wasn't the language of their heart, the language that they'd learnt at their mother's knee, as we often put it in English. And while we were there, the translators were translating the Gospel of Luke. And so people were hearing Luke in their own language for the first time. And it was very moving to watch them hear these words, which they'd heard in English plenty of times, in the language of the heart, in the language that they'd learned since they were little children. What must that have been like then, on that first day of Pentecost, amidst all that foreign chatter, for people to hear in their own language, in the language of their hearts, the message of Jesus? Today, as we've mentioned a number of times already, is the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. And I was at the service, as we were discussing on Friday, and heard, as many of us did, Bishop Stephen's sermon. He spoke of the faithfulness of the Queen and of the way in which her faithfulness to the country springs from the deep well of her faithfulness to God. That, like all Christians, she leans on God as her inspiration and guide and support. Christianity was never meant to be a solitary endeavour. We're called to rely on God and on each other. As Archbishop Stephen said in his sermon, to be a Christian, to be a follower of Christ, is to be called into community. We're not expected to do everything ourselves. We're not even expected to do most things ourselves. We're called to live and work together in his name. At St Mary's, I know that your new vision statement is to be transformed by Jesus and to transform the world with Jesus, which fits very well both into the Queen's Jubilee celebrations and the message of Pentecost. The Queen speaks very openly about the way in which her own life has been transformed by the Christian faith. And the message of Pentecost is that we are called to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit and to share that transforming power with others. The Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost comes not just on one individual, and this is a crucial part of the Pentecost story. The Spirit comes upon the disciples when they are gathered together in one place. It inspires them collectively, so that they may inspire others. And one of the major challenges during the last 2 years, which St Mary's has risen to so wonderfully in these online services, is that we have not been able to come together physically in one place as the disciples did on that first Pentecost. We've not been able to be physically present with one another. It's been a challenge and an opportunity for creativity, as has been realised here at St Mary's. And it's a reminder of how important we are to one another as Christian community. We've been grateful for something that in many ways we took for granted before. And so today, We remember the birthday of the church, the coming of the Holy Spirit onto the heads of the disciples on that first Pentecost. As we celebrate 70 years of the Queen's reign and give thanks for her faithfulness to the country made possible through her faithfulness to God, we give thanks for the gift of Christian community, that God does not call us to be Christians on our own, but to give us the gift of one another. This Pentecost, may we seek to support and learn from one another through the gift of the Holy Spirit as fellow travellers on the road. Amen.